Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Good morning, everyone. Steve Dale right here. A lot to do this morning. Have you ever thought about, I'm going to give my dog or cat treats, but I want something different. I want something to mix it up. For example, marshmallows. Just a little bit of them. For cats. Can you believe that? Some cats like marshmallows. So what I have is a list of unusual treats that you might not have thought about otherwise. Also, we're going to talk about how much money, and you won't believe it, that people now spend on their pets for Christmas. And I have a new book out I'll tell you about. It's a coloring book, believe it or not. That's right. I said a coloring book. A coloring book. You're talking to the author of several pet books, Dr. Crack, including a coloring book. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I never thought I would be doing that. Dr. Kratt is the incoming president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, or shall I say, officially president-elect. Good morning, Dr. Crack.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you. So we've been doing this, what we're about to do, for, I don't know, 15 years, maybe 20 years, and that is talking to either the president or president-elect of the American Veterinary Medical Association about your resolutions for our pets for the upcoming year. And I can't believe the year is 2020. I mean, that kind of blows me away. What would your number one resolution be?
What would my number one resolution be for your pets?
Uh-huh.
You want to know? I would tell you, make them a happy, healthy part of your life.
All right. And how do we do that?
Well, you know, there's so many different things to do. You talked about resolutions. It seems like we all do resolutions, right, at the beginning part of the year. And we can make our pets part of that same resolution. I think they just enhance our lives so much. So let's talk about some of the resolutions that people typically do for the start of the new year. They talk about exercising more. Well, what a better way than if you have a dog to go out and exercise and increase the number of walks you take a day or a week, or maybe just make them a little bit longer. We know that they decrease stress for us, and I'm sure it decreases stress for our pet load, or our pets as well, excuse me. My very own pet loves going for runs with my wife, who's also a veterinarian. If he doesn't get that exercise, he just really gets excited when she goes and gets her running clothes.
So you said something really interesting there. So what we now know, or let me rephrase that, we're beginning to learn, is that it works from one end of the leash going to the other, then the other end of the leash going back. So it turns out that all that feel good that we're only beginning to understand that we get from animals, they're feeling the same thing, and they benefit as well. Not surprising to you, I suspect.
No, not surprising at all. And we knew it, you know, I guess the negative way, and I don't like talking in the negative, that when we would be stressed out or we would be anxious or we would get agitated, that I see it in the exam rooms. The pets would very much follow the same way. If their owners are anxious and nervous, the pets seem to be a little bit more anxious and nervous that something's going to happen. And if we're more calm, the pets become more calm. And so let's talk about the positives, right? And I think you hit it on the head, is that we have pets for our enjoyment. And we know that they make us healthier and that they're better for us, and vice versa. We do the same thing for our pets.
We also know we live in a nation filled with overweight and obese pets. I forget what the exact numbers are, but it's over half of all dogs are now either overweight or obese, and near 60% of cats the same. So I'm thinking that is not a good thing. So the same, and you alluded to this, but I want to make a point of it, the same as we promise in whatever year it's going to be now, 2020, to take off some weight. Maybe the same should be true for our pets, too. And the other interesting thing is great-grandma, as it turns out, would look at our pets today and say, oh my goodness, that's a chubby dog or cat. We look at those pets today, and our vision is skewed a bit. We don't look at them as being overweight, as generations ago it was clearly understood, but our perceptions have changed because there's now a new normal, but maybe it should not be normal.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that, you know, as the weight issue and obesity issue has increased in the United States, it has with our pets, and I think your numbers are pretty close. I think, unfortunately, it's going up, but that exercise is very important, and proper nutrition is very important. You know, there's two parts of the equation that I talk about is there's our intake and our output, right? And if we can work on both sides of those equations, I think it works better for everybody involved, including our pets. Talk about humans being overweight, the increase in osteoarthritis and aches and pains, and we talk about increase in heart disease, and we talk about diabetes. Well, you can transfer those three same diseases right along with our pets, and I see it weekly in my practice.
Can I tell you something that drives me crazy? People go, and you mentioned the key word here, nutrition, which is what made me think of it. So, and this should be a resolution, I think, for me it would be. We'll see whether it is for you, too. That people go online, which is expected now, you know. I mean, we all go online for information, but they go online for information about nutrition. They may get good information, but maybe not. And I would suggest, no matter what, that online place you go to, wherever it is, they don't know your pet. Your veterinarian does. Are we getting often our information about nutrition from the wrong places?
You know, I view it as a partnership, and information is great. Information's coming at us at all angles, at all times of day, should we so choose. And whether that's good or bad, that's a whole different conversation. But I know for my own personal health, there is someone I can go on to Dr. Google and get information about health. But when I go for my annual exams or if there's something else, I talk with my physician. He knows my whole health history. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what's good for me and what's bad and what may not be good for me. But we talk about it and we come to what I call a custom plan for myself, right? There's no one set thing for all of us. It's what individually fits best for us. And it's no different for our pets, is that there should be a relationship with a veterinarian so that you know which food is best for your pet. And it's best for your pet that you have there. And it may not be best for your other pet that you have, because there may be other issues that are happening.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. And I think that there's, let me rephrase that. I know there's a lot of misinformation online as well. Veterinarians are educated about things such as nutrition, and that website that you go to might be a good one, but it might not be.
That's exactly it. And information changes, and you don't know how fast information is updated online. And, you know, we talk about all the different things that happen in nutrition. You talk about nutrition right now, but we've talked about the grain-free diets and those things that have come up. And in the past, other issues with it. And the information that your veterinarian has is changing it all the time as well. And so having those conversations is important.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other resolutions that come to mind, recommendations that you would make for pet owners as we move into 2020?
Boy, yes. So we've kind of hit on the diet, and I've alluded to having a good working relationship and making it a team with your veterinarian. And we talked about exercising, but remember, you know, I think you see the gymnasiums and the workout areas get really busy the first couple of weeks of January. And then it starts to tailor off, or we go all in. Remember, it's a lifestyle change, and that we try to make it long term. And I think that that's probably the number one thing that I would tell people, is that let's look long term changes and how we can make our pets healthier.
And you know what we failed to do? We have absolutely failed in this regard. I'll take the blame for it, Dr. Kratt. Cats can exercise too. So you may not go jogging with your cat, but they can get more exercise as indoor cats by enhancing enrichment or just by interactive play than we typically think about.
Very much so. Cats can have climbing trees and perches. They can have the mobiles that move around. Sometimes there is battery-operated mice or other things that they'll chase around. Anything for that exercise, it's limitless. They're the light pointers and things like that. Cats can exercise as well. It's usually shorter term, but they can definitely exercise as well.
All right. I didn't want to get in trouble with the cat people. You can learn more about all of this, and if you ever have any questions, avma.org. That's the American Veterinary Medical Association website, is always a good resource. Dr. Doug Kratt, incoming president, or shall I say, I got it wrong again, president-elect of the American Veterinary Medical Association. Thank you so much.
Steve, I want to thank you, and I want you to have a happy new year. I hope listeners understand how much we appreciate you and your voice of advocating for these animals, getting this information, the important information out about health and well-being for the animals. And it's been great to partner with you on this.
Well, I've partnered with the AVMA for many years, as apparently you know. And incidentally, while I have you on the phone, I must say, and with you on the phone, I believe she's simply retiring. She has a right to do that. But boy, oh boy, Sharon Granskog has been a superstar for the AVMA, a friend of mine, someone who I've worked with for a couple of decades now. She is absolutely the greatest resource I have to go to, and she will be missed, though her family will enjoy more time with her, I'm sure.
She's done a great job for us, and yeah, well deserved, and hopefully we will still continue to find other great resources for you.
All right, and indeed, I'm sure you will. Thank you so much, Dr. Kratt.
Thank you. You have a great day.
Happy holidays from Steve Dale's Pet World. And in fact, most of you, I'm sure, have a pet. Otherwise, you would not be listening to a show about pets. If not, get a pet. I can tell you how to get a pet. Go to a local animal shelter or legitimate rescue, and your life will change. I can guarantee that, or your money back. Now, at least half the people with dogs. And by the way, did you know this? Here's a fun fact for you. There are actually more pets than there are children in America. That's true. At least half the people with dogs, and nearly as many with cats, will buy a Christmas gift for their pets this year. The demographic most likely to do this, what do you think? Millennials. On average, money spent on a pet gift for Christmas is about, what do you think? $100? $20? It's about $36. One in 20 people does admit to spending over $100. So definitely pets are part of the family, as most people do buy something for their pet or their pets for the holidays. I have an idea for you. Are you a sports fan? Well, how about the perfect holiday gift for sports fanatics with pets? So whether it's a college team, NBA, NFL, NHL, pro baseball, even NASCAR, you can name the team. You can go to a website. I'll give you the website address in a second. And you can name the team, and they will have, for example, I just tried Ohio State. So not only do they have Buckeye uniforms and T-shirts, too, both for pets, but there's also a water dish with the logo of Ohio State. There are dog toys. All of that is true for most teams, professional and college. And I'll tell you an upside of doing this, because increasingly people are understanding, and I'm glad they are, and I'm sure I'll be talking about this in upcoming weeks as the weather gets even colder. It's a good idea for many dogs to have a coat or a sweater on of some sort. So what if they're wearing the jersey of your favorite team? I mean, if they're going to wear a coat or a sweater, they might as well, if you're a Ohio State fan, for example, they might as well, or a better example, Chicago Blackhawks. They might as well wear a Blackhawk jersey. And in fact, one of our dogs does have a Blackhawk jersey that's a bit tight on her, but she wears it still for special occasions because it's actually signed by Bobby Hull. There was a period of time where, for whatever reason, I made a couple of appearances, and Bobby Hull was there, and he'd eventually call me the dog guy. And we did a event at Harry Carey's on Navy Pier. This was like 3 years ago, I think. And it was an Adopt-a-Dog event, which was great. And I'm always happy to do those. And Bobby Hull was there signing. I think he had a new book out. He was there for some reason signing. And he signed jerseys that people brought, and most people brought, as did I, my jersey for Bobby Hull to sign. And I'm proud to say my jersey's also signed by Dennis Savard, Tony Esposito. I wish I had gotten Stan Mikita's, and lots of current players as well, but I digress. So we took this little jersey off our dog, about a 32-pound dog, not a real small dog, but not a big dog, took the jersey off, gave it to Bobby, and he signed it. And then he took a picture with the signed jersey on our dog, and he was so nice about that. But he would see me at events and say, "Oh, the dog guy." I saw him at the airport once, actually, just by coincidence, and he said, "Hey, dog guy." Well, the dog guy has written a new book. I've written or contributed to many books. In fact, this gives me an idea. I can make an announcement about a book I have coming out. It's not my book. I'll explain that in 2020. But first, a book that I do have out that I never expected I would write. I think it took me 5 minutes to write. It's a children's coloring book, and it's available free. It's about what it's worth. But you can download it on my website, and I think you could click on it, and there's other places where you can get, I don't know. The good news is it's really cheap. It's free. And the messaging about animal welfare to children, I think, is important. So you can go to my website, and that's stevedale.tv. And there's a tab that says About Steve, and then it says Books Authored is a choice. And just click on that, and the coloring book, again, is called My New Puppy. Oh, so the announcement. A couple of years ago, I co-edited a book that I'm very proud of called Decoding Your Dog. It's still available. It still does very, very well. And I hope you consider that book for the holidays. I didn't author anything except the introduction to the book. I did edit the book, and my job was to translate scientist language, veterinary behaviorists that contributed to the book. So the book was written by veterinary behaviorists from all over the country, boarded behaviorists. So just like in human medicine and in veterinary medicine, you could be boarded in, ophthalmology, cardiology, neurology, et cetera, right? I mean, we know that. Well, in veterinary medicine, the same. And one of the boards is animal behavior. And these are veterinarians. So I'm a certified animal behavior consultant, but my gosh, I always defer to veterinary behaviorists. They are the absolute, I think, experts in this particular field of animal behavior. And people don't even know. Now they know better. And I think the book helped that this specialty even exist. And that is what I'm most grateful for, as well as the information in the book. I mean, there's so much misinformation about animal behavior that's online, and so many experts who I respect so much contributed to this book. And as I say, it's still doing really well, called Decoding Your Dog. At the time, we did autograph signings at bookstores. We did some special events. One of the co-editors, Dr. John Sarabasi, happens to be a veterinary behaviorist in the Chicago area, Dr. Deborah Horwitz, the other in St. Louis. And again, if you know someone that's getting a dog, particularly a first-time dog owner, or might be getting a dog, or just wants to learn more about basic training and basic animal behavior, it's more than a training book. In fact, it's not really a training book. It's really about behavior, taking dogs from puppies all the way to senior dogs. And there's an entire chapter written by literally the planet's expert on this topic of canine cognitive dysfunction and what to do about that. That, in essence, is doggy Alzheimer's. And there is such a thing, believe it or not. Dr. Gary Landsberg did that chapter, and he's the right guy to do it, and anyone in the field would tell you that. So Decoding Your Dog, available wherever books are sold, online or elsewhere. So that's that we know about, right? Well, how about this? The book called Decoding Your Cat. So Decoding Your Cat is coming out in 2020. That's right. I wrote the introduction once again to this book. That's all I did in this case is write the introduction. And I'm so excited. I can argue that this book is even more well-needed, if you will, for cats than for dogs, because there's more misinformation about cat behavior compared to dog behavior. Similarly, the experts in animal behavior, veterinary behaviorists, contributed to this book. I wish I could tell you exactly when the book is going to be out, but I do know this. You can go to Amazon.com, type in the words Decoding Your Cat, and you can pre-order the book, and I do hope you do that. We'll have some of the authors on this show, I'm sure, over the course of the year in 2020. Next week on the show, we're talking with Dr. Glenn Ola about feline infectious peritonitis. What? It's a kind of disease. It's the worst thing a cat can get, really, and it mostly happens to kittens, which makes it even worse. And if you look in the veterinary books that are current, they will say this disease is complex and it's fatal. Well, it's still complex, but now it's understood and it's no longer considered fatal. We'll have the news about that, about how you actually can treat FIP, something I never thought I would say. And we'll talk about that next week on the show. One big problem at this time of year is everyone at the table feeding our pets, and they end up getting a lot more food than they should get. I mean, here's what we forget, that a 10-pound dog, a slice of turkey, a little slice, a tiny slice without the fat, without any of that, may be okay. But if 5 or 10 people give that same amount to a dog, it is like us having half a turkey. I mean, really. And no wonder why they can get very sick as a result. We just forget that a 10-pound dog weighs so much less than we do, and therefore we don't think about portions except on our terms. So it's no wonder why the animals are getting sick. And I said taking off the fat or the skin because that, the fat or the skin, can cause pancreatitis. And that can actually be life-threatening for animals. Also, the bones. You've heard me talk about this before for years. Chicken bones, turkey bones, the little bones, they can get and do get lodged in throats or in the esophagus or further down in the system. And again, we're talking about potentially emergency surgery. My goal is to keep your pets out of the animal ER over the holiday season.